here's the problem. By the year 2030, which is not that far from now, every cent collected by the federal government on all types of taxes, any revenues, will be just enough to pay for Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, with not one cent left over for defense or for running anything else in the federal government. And so entitlement reform absolutely has to be a part of whatever is done. But you cannot reform spending in this country only attacking 21% of the spending. 79% actually is entitlements.
What do you see as possibilities on the revenue side of the equation?
If you want to get more revenues, more people have to go back to work. And when people go back to work, they end up paying taxes. And the problem is, with the Obama administration, he wants to raise taxes on the so-called rich, people earning over $200,000 a year. That'll suck out $85 billion a year in money that could be leveraged at least 10 times that amount, which is about $1 trillion a year in the private sector that could be poured back into the economy. And the reason why people are not investing, why corporations are flush with money, why banks have a lot of money, is the fact that people do not know what to expect from the President's Affordable Health Care Act. They don't know where he's going on the regulatory scheme. They don't know where he's going on taxes. And anytime you have uncertainty, businesses do very little. They just sit back and wait for the economy to improve, when they actually are the keys to improving the economy. Raising taxes? No, you don't do that. Not in the height of a recession.
It almost sounds like a vicious circle. The people with the money shouldn't be paying taxes because they need to invest it, but they're waiting until the government has resolved the situation before they invest money back into business.
What they're waiting for is certainty of the economy. People that earn that type of money are ready to reinvest it back into the economy. Because that's what small businesses do. But they can't do that because they don't know if the money that they have for reinvestment is going to be eaten up in new taxes. If the president just got and said, look, we're going to keep the tax structure the way it is. We may work on some improvements to make it fair for everybody, but we're not going to raise taxes. If the president did that, that would be the greatest impetus for the economic recovery this country would ever have. Plus, the president talks about regulations. We've been working with the American Plastics Council, the American Chemistry Council, and the American Composite Association. The federal government denominated styrenes as a carcinogen based upon very faulty science. This will destroy our plastic composites industry in this country. That's the fiberglass, automobiles, boats, showers, anything involving fiberglass. Those jobs could all go overseas because the government's faulty science in saying that styrene is a carcinogen. We're trying to work and get that reversed by saying let the National Academy of Sciences make that determination as opposed to a handful of bureaucrats within the federal government. It's one assault after the other on American manufacturing. You can't talk about creating jobs and decreasing regulations and then turn right around and take away money from the job creators who are the small businessmen and the people that are trying to recover from the heavy hand of regulation.
S&P downgraded slightly the U.S. government bond rating. What's your take on that situation?
Well, it depends. Remember, the market died 500 points right after we voted on this latest plan to raise the debt limit. The market is very soft because the economies are very soft. The Institute for Supply Management is down 2 months in a row, and it's hovering just above 50. Once you get below 50 on the ISM, that means that we're losing jobs in the manufacturing sector. The people are not buying more consumer products because we're paying too dang much for gasoline. And the reason we're paying too dang much for gasoline is the president will not allow offshore drilling. The Keystone XL pipeline. It's a $7 billion project coming from Canada all the way down to Texas. 20,000 jobs. It's been tied up in an environmental nightmare for 3 years because someone says, well, you put in a pipeline and it leaks. It doesn't take too much imagination to create jobs in America and to see the direct relationship between taxes and regulations that are stifling American enterprise.
There was some question over the FAA reauthorization and what that did to jobs and various projects that were in place. There's been a temporary fix right now. What do you see as an eventual way to get to a solution on that?
The patchwork goes to the middle of September, and there are really a couple of issues that are going on. One is that the union issue changed a decades-old rule that said the majority of the people in a particular unit have to vote in favor of a union. And the government changed it just to a majority of those people who vote. It's a landmark change in union organization. Maybe that shouldn't be a part of the FAA reauthorization bill. And the other one had to do with subsidizing Harry Reid's airport to the tune of about $3,600 for every person who uses a rural airport, because the bill that we passed the House said if you're within 90 miles of a hub-and-spoke airport, then there shouldn't be a subsidy going to that airport. You know, those issues have to be resolved. But fortunately, the guys went back to work, and in this environment, you have to do everything you can to avoid people not working.